Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am really excited because I have not one, but two guests today. I have Luke and Kyle from the Well, That Fucked Me Up podcast. Welcome to the show, Luke and Kyle.
Thank you so much. I'm Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hi, Kyle. I'm Luke. Thanks, Amanda. It's great. And we had you as a guest on our podcast, so this feels so lovely that you've had us back. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm excited. This is my first time interviewing two people at once, so this should be really interesting. So I will start with Luke. Could you tell us a little bit about your story and, you know, how you got to be where you're at today?
Right. The short version of the story is I'm British, because you can hear that in the way I speak. I moved to LA 6 years ago. My marriage fell to pieces. I briefly lost custody of my children. Had a complete emotional breakdown, was drinking too much alcohol, and all the traumas of my past, all the traumas of my childhood, a death of a friend that happened when I was 11 years old in front of me, all came back out of nowhere. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to exist. I didn't know how to live. And bit by bit, I just started piecing myself back together again, just bit by bit, piece by piece. And right at the very beginning of that journey, I met this awesome chap, Kyle, who's at a little window on our computer right now, who'd equally had some interesting stuff happen to him. And we just hit it off and we saw some humor in all of the crazy. And we realized that we really had stories to tell, but also for me to suddenly be open and speak vulnerably about myself, my story, and be able to ask for help and be able to not keep telling everybody that I'm okay when I wasn't okay. It was just a total life changer for me. And so that's like the short story of like how Kyle and I decided, well, hold on a second, why don't we just open up a forum for this? And hear everybody else's traumatic, disastrous stories and how they've fed and how they started to get themselves out of it.
That's amazing. And, you know, I love that you two met each other and have become friends and started this podcast to highlight, you know, not just your stories, but also the stories of others who, you know, like you said, have been through trauma and have overcome it in some form or fashion. So that's really amazing. And Kyle, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name's Kyle Wise. And, you know, I met Luke at a very interesting time because I was also coming off a divorce. And, you know, I was, you know, basically my story is I was sexually molested and raped as a child. And in order to deal with that, I ran with the wrong crew and did some pretty, not unlike your story. You know, when you get those lesser companions and then you decide to do some things that may not have, in hindsight, been the best idea. And
yeah.
So I, you know, I was just burning the candle at both ends, and I hurt a lot of people on the way out. And, you know, I kind of came to a moment where I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I started, you know, really trying to heal myself. And I met Luke at probably one of the most pivotal times. Because, you know, when you're healing and you're like, okay, I'm making some progress. And then some sort of big wave hits you and you're like, fuck it, I'm done. And, you know, I, you know, Luke was kind of my Eskimo in that. He was kind of my angel. And we just hit it off. And, you know, we've been running and gunning ever since. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'd call up Luke and I'd, you know, lament about whatever problem I was having. And then he would, you know, kind of say what he was going through. And we started just laughing and joking about how some of how some of the absurd things we've gotten ourselves into. And, you know, it was really Luke's idea where he was like, you know, people have got stories like this. We're not unique. I mean, we are, but we aren't. And there's tons of people out there. And it's just been this incredible journey, like, to find these people and to hear their stories and, you know.
Yeah. That was good, Carl.
Well, I almost opened with the time you and I got invited into a cult, but
one of the
What? Wait, did you just say you almost got invited to a cult? I must hear more. Well, please tell.
This was quite recently into our friendship. And both of us were still a little bit raw. And I think, funnily enough, I think Carl and I got separated or divorced similar times. I think you'd started seeing someone. You're like, oh, I'm with this girl and we're going out and she's got a friend. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this.
It was Christmas Eve.
Sure, Christmas Eve. Yeah, wow. Wow. And I'm setting the scene. It's like Die Hard. and we were going to go watch a movie. And so it was kind of like a double date. Or so Kyle thought. And then, so we went to this very kind of like rusty Chinese in a Chinese restaurant in a strip mall. I was like, this is great. This is classy. And then when we got there, it was Kyle, this girl, this other girl, and then these weirdos. There were these weirdos. And they were like, oh, I hope you don't mind we brought our friends. We're like, who? Your friends? And they were just like a really a whole bunch of really weird people. And they're like, well, how do you guys all know each other? And no one could give us a straight answer, could they? That was the weirdest thing. Yeah. Everyone was like, just from work. Actually, no, it's just from this. And we were like, how do you know each other? And then
that's strange.
There was this guy at the end of the table who was like holding people's hands and saying that he hasn't slept for 4 months, but he's like, I'm getting a reading from you. And I was like, wait, this is weird. I just came to just do a double date and go to a movie. And now we're in a Chinese restaurant with a whole bunch of completely weird people.
Stuck in the middle, so we couldn't move.
Yeah, I was stuck in the middle. And then this girl, to get really honest, was the friend, she was sat next to me and she was like the menu and we were choosing food. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a good evening. Then she started talking about like me and what I was doing and that I should join their group. And their group meets up on the weekends and in the week and then they have a leader. And I'm like, excuse me now, what's happening? But to add to that, she said, here's the enrollment page and I'm going to need $3,000 off you right now.
What?
I was like, I am what? So confused now. All I want is some motherfucking spring rolls. Right? And so there's a girl who's not a double date, and there's a thing, and now there's a web page, and there's a strange man who's trying to read people's minds and Kyle's looking at me across the table and he's like nodding, like, come here. So we go outside and he goes, what's going on? And I was like, I don't fucking know. It's your double date.
Like, you invited me.
It's your weird. It's not my weird. It's your weird. And I said, I think they're like, they do some like weird like thing and they're trying to recruit us. Anyway, sure enough, this girl was getting annoyed with me and she was like, you've got to sign up. I need your credit card. And I was like, listen, I'm not giving you any money. I don't know who you are. And as soon as I told her I wasn't interested, she turned off the effect. She didn't speak to me for the rest of the night.
Whoa. Right?
And then we went to the movie. They all came into the movie. And then about 1 hour into the movie, and they were all scattered around this packed theater at the Landmark. And at 1 hour into the movie, all of them got up. Like, all of them simultaneously got up in these, like, weird different positions in the movie. And they left. But exactly the same time.
That's so weird.
And that was our Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I never talked to her.
Yeah. And then subsequently, we did some research. And it was one of these kind of harness your power and energy and give us all your money and your money will turn into everything you could ever dream of. And we did, I'm not going to say the name of this thing, but it was a very well-known kind of faux, like cult evangelical based kind of like thing where people just rinse you for your cash.
Yeah.
Wow. That's scary. So we had a nice
movie. Like, Luke and I just hung out and watched a movie.
Yeah.
Well, at least you had that. Yeah. Now, Kyle, did you, so were you dating this woman and prior to this double date, or did you kind of just like meet her somewhere randomly and decided to have a double date? Like, how did that happen?
Oof, really put me on the spot on that one. somewhere in between meeting and loosely dating.
Yeah, that'd been a couple of days. That was about three. You were about 3 weeks in, I feel.
Sure.
And she never brought this up to you prior to this date. That is weird.
Yeah, I think she was a recruiter too. So I think that's how they do it. You know, they're like, make a double date and then some more people come and then you get your friends and before you know it, you've all been brainwashed and you're living in a small field in God knows where.
It's
giving somebody your credit cards. I don't know.
Wow. Well, luckily you both, you know, knew better, you know, because I'm sure there's people out there that are so desperate for that belonging, know, that they fall victim to that. Yeah. That's really, really scary.
Talk about sidetrack. Wow. Sorry, that story took a long time.
No, it's fine. It was interesting.
Well, you know, I'm going to bring that full circle. Like, we've had some people on the podcast who have been in cults, like legitimate ones. And that is a thing they say. It's often such a slow sort of tap. You don't know. And it's often very, very intelligent people, very clever people, but they will target people who are needy. And obviously our podcast is called Well, That Fucked Me Up. And some of the people that were in those, had been in those situations, those cults, they're so fucked up, you know, because the one thing is that they're so angry with themselves for allowing themselves to be hoodwinked. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And, you know, the thing too is like, I feel, you know, they kind of prey on that. So like if you're dealing with something, they can come along and say like, oh, well, I can help you with this. Just give me $3,000. And
yeah,
you know, it's not unlike what we all do here. Like, we're trying to help people and we're trying to listen to people. But for me, it just seemed like there's like a nefarious undertone to it all, you know?
Yeah.
Big time.
I agree with that. That's really scary, you know, and stuff like that. Like, luckily, well, I can't say that I never met anyone who was in a cult while I was in active addiction and everything, but I never fell into a cult. And I'm grateful for that because I couldn't imagine, just add that to the list, you know, of all the things that we've been through. And it's really shitty that these people who do these things are preying on people who really need help, you know, and they're preying on that. That's just like, you know, when you think about abusers and they prey on men and women who are weak, who they can just sense that neediness of the person. Yeah. And it's really scary. And we have to be so careful putting ourselves out there to not fall victim to that. So, you know, could you guys think of any warning signs to share with people since you've experienced something like that for others who may be listening, who might be prone to fall victim to something like that?
That's a really interesting question. I think, I mean, from all of the conversations we've had on our show as well, it seems to be, as you just explained it, it's people who have a lack of belief in themselves and people just prey on you. So I don't think I've got any advice for like specifics in specific situations, but a cult is exactly the same as an abusive relationship or someone in an abusive marriage. The thing that people get sucked into, or the thing that people can't get out of, is they don't have enough belief or enough confidence that gives them the wherewithal to realize what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It is.
You know, I don't know how this got into the cult conversation. Our podcast is now about cults. You know, I was just thinking, like, there's a very, like, if you try and leave the cult or the group or the toxic relationship, it's not only are you losing the relationship, but you're losing, like, your friends. And they're like, oh, don't talk to this person.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, like, Luke and I, like, Luke, I actually knows every terrible thing I've ever done. And we have that honesty, and he's never judged me on it. You know, he's definitely been like, well, maybe you shouldn't do that. But like, and so I feel like if that's kind of like a telltale sign, like if you're in this relationship and there's contingencies, or if it's like, if you do this, I'm not going to do this. Or if you do this, like, then it's, maybe that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a red flag. Yeah. Or, you know, something I would add to it too is if you, whether it's a intimate relationship or a cult situation, it's when people are showering you with like everything you want. Mm. Like you meet a man or a woman, they're like, oh, like you can have all these beautiful jewels and I'm going to take care of you. Because that's how they hook you. Yeah. And then you get into this relationship or this scenario, and all of a sudden you're being abused, and now you can't get out because you're fully reliant on this person or people. So, yeah.
And that all kind of comes full circle to the whole mental health of it all, because mm-hmm. one thing that we have found out in our, we've done like 42, 43 episodes now, is for the most part, people's mental health is hugely affected. Like for all of this stuff, whether it's abuse, whether it's confidence, whether it's self-esteem, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's fear. And me specifically, I was in such a bad, well, and Kyle, I think, I was in such a bad place mentally that had happened over like 30 years of my life. I just didn't know there was another way to be.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was another way to think. I just thought life is fucking terrifying. Every choice I make is probably going to be the wrong one. I was completely self-destructive. And all the therapy that I'd done, I was just completely... I was like, I'd pay for therapy and then lie to the therapist. So I was like that classic
person. I've done that. Yep.
And they couldn't help me because I wasn't telling them the whole story. And then over the last 4 years, I've realized just saying, I'm really scared, or saying, I can't stop thinking about this thing that I think is going to happen, which probably isn't going to happen, or getting stuff out of my brain. And for the first time in my whole life saying, I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I'm worried. I'm scared for the safety of my children. I've got all these crazy feelings going around my head about the future. I'm worried about dying. I'm scared about tripping. Like everything just came out, and I started finding these places and forums and friends who wanted to hear that. Whereas previously for 30 years, I was like, I'm fine. Go home, drink, cry into a pillow, wake up the next morning. I'm fine. And so I think what we're finding we're able to promote is this sense of openness. Vulnerability is a tough word for a guy as well, for a man, you know, mm-hmm. but we're not just focused on that, on guys, but vulnerability and knowing that people are out there to help you and want to help you and are up for it, are up for talking about it. Because Kyle and I, he'll call me up like, can I pose a problem to you? And I'm like, yes, it sounds like fun. You know? And I just realized that with all my old life, as much as it, there's many, 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 many regrets, which I'm still dealing with. I didn't used to speak to all my friends like that. But now I went back to England recently and they were all like, it's very inspiring what you're doing with the podcast. It's very open. You're very honest. And I was like, I know. I mean, yes, that's just how I am. It's not how I used to be, you know. It's like you were just drinking and being the party animal and like you seemed fine, but I think deep down everyone could see that you weren't. And I was like, whoa, this is fucking crazy. So to bring that full circle to like mental health, that's a really big thing that we concentrate on the podcast. And it's kind of opened my eyes to all these people and everything they've gone through. And just to know that when you see somebody or that where they're behaving strange, or if you're having issues at work or somebody's, it's just be aware that people are going through shit. Like everyone is going through shit, and not most people don't know how to address it or how to talk about it.
Yeah, that's very true. I think, you know, with you know, like how I related to like pretty much everything you just said, besides for being a man and using the word vulnerable. I don't like saying vulnerable either. And I'm a woman. So, because it makes me feel very like I'm exposed.
Yeah.
Someone asked me recently, I don't remember who it was, but you know, what does it feel like knowing that like your whole life is just out there? I said, it literally feels like I'm standing naked in the middle of a freeway. Yeah. That's what it feels like all the time. And, but at the end of the day, like you said about mental health, like we have to talk about this stuff because us being vulnerable and sharing our stories and helping others share their stories is only going to make it easier for those who are still in that shameful or active addiction or just got out of jail or whatever it is that they're going through. It's going to inspire them like, okay, number one, I'm not alone. Yes. And number two, like, wow, look what I can still do because once we're labeled a certain way, I know for me, I convinced myself that's who I was and I had to hide, right? Like you live in that like shameful, like, oh, well, if I expose myself, what will people think?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
It's funny too. It's like, you know, when somebody comes out of the prison system, you know, there's a stigma. And it's also a stigma in mental illness and stuff like that. Like, oh, you're a convict. You're a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And there's no like, yeah, you fucked up and you paid your dues. There's no like second chance. And, you know, especially with someone who deals with depression or anxiety and you're like, you know, how many times you're like, you're depressed and people are like, just be happy. Just, you know. Just count your blessings.
Yeah.
It's good advice, but also I'm like in the middle of a forest. I can't see my fucking blessings.
Right. Like, what are those? And,
like the strength it takes for, you know, people who are struggling is, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other, just getting out of bed, you know, or if you got a rap sheet, like, applying for a job where it's like, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And you have to like...
Hate that. The worst.
You're like,
and it's like, now you're sweating. Yeah. And then it's horrible.
Three lines. They're like, please explain. Like,
how am I it's like, what? So true. I hate it. I hate it so much. You know, when it comes to employment, when you have a criminal record, like, it's really fucking hard. And I had never told. So if I would go to an interview and they didn't ask, I just wouldn't tell. Yeah. But then you're living in this fear of, oh, I'm going to show up today and they're going to know. They're going to find out, you know, and it's not, that's not the way to do it. I promise. That's not the way.
That's a horrible way to live.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that little checkbox like makes my skin crawl and I wish it didn't exist because another story about employment is I had lost a good job that I really liked. And I was like, okay, now I need to find a new one. And I was like, they're going to ask. And I go to this interview and they asked they told me they weren't going to do a background check. And I was like, sweet. Or if it was like within 10 years, I was like, okay, I'm good. It's been past 10 years. Cool. Well, they rescinded their job offer because they saw that I was a felon. No explanation, no nothing. I'm already down and out because I lost a job that I really liked. And now I'm being told that I can't get this job that's going to pay me $30,000 a year. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, there's 1,001 things wrong with the system. And also, you know, that's the US system. It's not dissimilar in the UK. And also at least in America, I feel like everyone has a therapist, everyone takes medication, everyone has had some sort of psychological breakdown at some stage, right? So at least, I mean, don't get me started on the whole like medication system in the States, but at least it's like, it comes up in conversation with everyone. Oh, my therapist said, or I was in therapy, or when I was talking to my therapist in England, you can only imagine it's still very much, ooh, I say, what's that, a therapist? Have you got mentally disabled or something? And you're like, wow, you know, we're thankfully living in a world now where almost everyone in the Western world or every country is understanding that they have to do more. But still, unless somebody has first-hand experience or even second-hand experience, it's just not, and there's no judgment there, but it's just not going to be on their, it's not going to be on their radar. If they don't have any experience with anybody having depression or that kind of mental health issue where it's debilitating to a point that that is fucking with that person's day-to-day, getting out of bed or paranoid or worried or anxious to the point where they can't, they're having a panic attack every day, that person isn't going to be aware of it. And when you tell them, they're still not really going to understand what the hell you're talking about. And to Carl's point, they'll be like, well, can't you just not feel that way? Like, yeah. Just tell yourself that that isn't going to happen. Right? What's the problem?
Why can't you stop drinking and doing drugs? Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
To be fair, that's a fair question, isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, I joke because that was my problem for years and years and years. Right. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how to stop drinking. I mean, I did finally, but it's like, even with ultimatums, like you're going to lose everything. Everything that you've ever known will be lost, including probably eventually your life. Oh, cool. Sounds good. Let me just think about that when I drink 3 bottles of white wine.
it's funny too. It's like, you're always like telling yourself, okay, I'm going to stop Monday. And then Monday comes along.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday seems pretty good. Like, I'm just going to like, and I was trying to explain this to someone earlier when they were like, oh, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal to give up drinking. I was like, imagine I loved alcohol and other things so much that I tried to explain. It's like, if someone was like, you can no longer have sex for the rest of your life, go. That's what drugs and alcohol is for me.
That's a fair comparison. I can see that.
Yeah, that's funny. See, now we're covering addiction as well. So I just think, I think Kyle and I, albeit as you said, Kyle, you know, there's still shit. There's still shit to deal with. What happens is once you start living on your own terms, once you have a bit of self-belief, once you have admitted, I'm in trouble here, I need some help, once you surrounded yourself with the right people, if you have any addictions and, you know, alcohol issues, you know, I never realized the damage that was doing to me. I thought it was helping me. It was like a classic case of self-medicating. So I was like, that's the one thing that stops my anxiety and my panic attacks. But it turns out that was the one thing that was causing it all. And I was just in this cycle, this never-ending cycle, you know. It's like total alcohol addiction. So once you get rid of that, you start to have a clear head. Then you have to deal with your clear head because your clear head is telling you all sorts of crazy-ass fucking things that you didn't hear before because you're drinking too much. That's not very nice at all. Then once you start to uncover all that stuff and start to deal with that, well, you're off. You're off at the races because it's like, I don't have my drink and alcohol problem anymore, my drink and drugs problem anymore. The things that are whirling around my head are authentic because they're not being doused in drink and drugs, and I can start to deal with them and process them. And now I'm realizing I actually feel better and I feel some progress, and the progress gives you some hope. And with a little bit of hope, you can start to put one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, in front of the other. And I would say 4 years ago, I was probably as close to wanting to kill myself as I've ever been in all of my life. And now, sitting in this little cupboard, I would say I'm probably, this is probably the happiest I've ever been.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. I was going to ask you something and I lost it when you said that, but yeah, that is so true, you know. And then, oh, that's what I was going to ask. I remembered. So once you, well, both of you, like once you were able to let go of, you know, all the toxicity in your life and start dealing with those things that your brain was spewing out now that you were sober, you know, for me, I felt like, and I still feel this way sometimes, like, I don't know what my life is supposed to be without the drama. Like, how did you deal with that? Did you experience that feeling?
I mean, Kyle, you got to go first. Kyle, I mean, I don't know how much I can say. You can speak for yourself. But with Kyle, it's all about relationships, isn't it? You know, Kyle would call me up and you speak for yourself. He'd be like, this is this girl or this is this girl. Or I'm thinking about it. I'd be like, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
You like drama, don't you, Kyle?
Yeah. Someone used to say, he's like, you know, those red flags look like six flags when you're horny.
Oh my God.
So Luke has been kind of like my true north in that department. And I remember there's not that long ago, I was looking at my life and my relationships and I was looking at Luke's life and just how much peace he had. And I did not have that peace because I was looking for that peace in all the wrong places. And so I really took a step back and I looked at like things I needed to change when it comes to relationships and what did I really want. And it's definitely been a little bit more of a journey, I feel like, on my end for that. I'm trying to be vague because...
Well, funnily enough, you're not. You're making some quite good sense, but I think those forays into... And oh, by the way, I'm no fucking expert here, so I'm not talking like I've cracked the code, but what transpired was like those forays into like relationships or one-offs or whatever with talking about red flags, and I know I shouldn't, so I won't. And I'll be like, definitely don't. And the next day you'd be like, so I did. And
oh, no.
And that at one point I was like, well, don't call me then for advice if you're not going to take it. Because otherwise I'm just wasting my fucking time. Because I can tell you, because I've been there, the feeling of doing something that you think you want to do, but deep down you know you don't want to do. Because that feeling is regret or shame or self-hatred, right? So if I've lived that way for 20 years of my life, let's say, then to start to feel better and to start to have more self-belief. But then what you said, Amanda, missed the drama. I'm going to just keep going back and doing that thing because I'm used to that feeling of guilt and shame because I think I need it. But actually, then I realize I don't need that either. So then I'm going to start to not do those things because that brief moment of, oh, this is cool, this reminds me of how it used to be, this is kind of, I'm living the dream, very quickly turns to, fuck, I gotta get out of here, I hate myself, why did I do that? It's like a relapse, you know.
It's funny because, like, you know, my life, even in the last, I don't know, it last year, my life is completely different from what it is. Like, you know, I had a few hiccups, and but now it's like I watch Succession and I'm in bed by 9:30 and I'm not doing things I shouldn't be doing. And, you know, like I like my life. I teach kids how to box. And that's like one of the highlights of my, you know, my week. And if you would have told me that, you know, several years ago, like I would have been like teaching like kids who, you know, are at risk to like box. I've been like, no, nah, I'm all about that paper. I'm all about that career. I'm all about that. Mm. And now it's, I don't know. For me, it's more fulfilling to help others and kind of, you know, just be of service to people.
And by the way, I wasn't judging you when I was talking about you calling me up and me telling you not to do stuff and you continuously doing it. I mean, I wasn't judging you.
No, just, I know. That's actually the sign of a good friend because...
I just want to be clear. I really don't have it all worked out. Now, Kyle and I are always very quick to remind each other and our listeners that we're just not experts in this. We're right at the beginning of our journeys and it's new and it's exciting. And even though we're a few years into kind of things like sobriety and sort of new relationships and understanding ourselves and our feelings, we're not a fucking diploma. We're just finding that we're quite good at talking about it because we both like talking a lot and people like talking to us. And
she's like, I know, I haven't been able to say a word on my podcast.
What do you mean, yeah? Yeah. All right, you can talk now, Amanda.
No, I was trying to say, yeah, like, I... Sorry, I'm embarrassed.
You're going to leave that in. Yeah. Yeah, that I do have a habit of talking a lot. Yeah, you're like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, got that.
No, well, that's all the time we got for now.
Yeah, took about two episodes. Jesus.
But no, I feel you. Like, I feel the same way. Like, I'm right there with you guys. Like, this is, I'm not an expert either. I just feel like I'm a good storyteller. And if I can help one person, it's worth it. And I want to share everyone's stories. Like, if it was possible, I would interview everyone on this planet, yeah, you know, and share their stories. Yeah. But it's, I doubt that would happen.
It is amazing, isn't it? And also, I think we're lucky because of the topic, right? Your podcast is very similarly sort of let the good things, what's the full name of it?
The Let Good Things In Show.
I was about to say Let the Good Things In Show. So I nearly got it right. it's about, like, it doesn't all have to be that. We don't have to be the trauma that, or the past, or the regret that we thought we'd have to sort of live with forever and ever. It doesn't have to be that way. And when you find guests that come on because they've got a similar story to tell, even though some of our stories are so very different, the conversation flows because you're like, yes, that's how I felt. Or, fuck, I didn't think of that. Or, God, can you imagine if that hadn't have happened and you were stuck there forever? Or, thank God for that person that got you out of there. Or, thank God. And it's so inspiring. Like, on all of these interviews we do, I just get these goosebumps of like, oh, it feels so good to be alive. And it didn't feel good to be alive for decades. It didn't feel good to be alive. It felt... it felt wrong and weird and horrible. So that's why you can't shut us up now, because we're all a bit like, yeah, fuck, did you nearly die? Yes, same here.
You know? I know, I feel the same way. Sometimes I'm like, wait, like, I just got excited because someone else also, like, almost wanted to end their life. And I did too. I did two years ago. That was me.
Yeah, you start doing thumbs up. You're like, same here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. I get it.
had a couple, haven't we, Kyle, which we didn't air. Yeah. We just had people out there, they just wanted to come on for a chat. Yeah. It's fine. Oh. Come on for a chat too. Didn't make for much. We were like, there was this one chap who was lovely, but I think he was just a bit lonely, just wanted to come on for chit chat, and we were waiting for the, like, you know, the juice. And he said he was drunk too much, and he said he had a bottle of bourbon on the weekend or something. I was like, what? That seems great.
Well, then he kept saying, like, all right, just wait, it gets good here. And we're like,
yeah. Oh. And it didn't. Then my girlfriend left me, but it's fine. She came back. And then we were like, dude, come on, what happened? I think we were like yelling at him by the end, like, who died? And like, what? So, but it's like the guests have been incredible. Like, and it becomes a thing where it's such an easy flowing topic of PTSD, trauma recovery, surviving life-changing events, stuff you went through, how you got out of it, how it affected you, the tools you're using in everyday life. And then, you know, then people email and they're like, wow, just listen to this, or I had that thing happen to me, or it's just crazy.
Yeah, and I will say real quick, before I ask you both the last question of the night, but I got two people that reached out to me just for being a guest on your show, and that's not happened. And I've been on quite many podcasts. Yes. So I thank you for that, you know, and that's amazing that you have an audience who listens and really, really listens, you know, and hears those stories and is inspired enough to reach out to your guests. So that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
I just want to say one thing, and then, like, have you noticed that when we allow ourselves to, like, sorry, the dog is trying to, like, get into the door. when we allow ourselves to be, like, open, honest, free, and, like, be like, yeah, we're fucked up, this is what we're dealing with, and that's okay, like, we don't have, it in turn allows other people to kind of, you know, like Luke was saying, like, he went back home and, like, people were like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's, I'm, you know, when I'm able to do this and it kind of just seeps in. And I was just thinking, like, today, like, you know, this kid in boxing, like, he had some things going on at home and he told them to me. And I was like, yo, man, that sucks. Like, anything I can do. And you're just like,
yeah.
I think in the past, I would have been like, yeah, you don't know what to do, man. Sorry.
And then you would have accidentally punched him in the face.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I agree. You're right, Kyle. It's you exude a more of a sense of kind of openness. People, there's something in anyone that is that open, like body language or the way you are. And yeah, you're right. When I went back to England, there was people were like, you're talking about all this stuff, and I went through that. And what did you do? And by the way, I've got a problem with prescription pills. And you're like, what? I didn't ask for any of that information. You know. It's great. I'll set up a kiosk.
Yeah.
Went to the wedding. A kiosk.
Yeah. A kiosk. Tips from Luke. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. But I do just want to ask both of you to answer this question. And it is the one I ask everybody. And what is your number one tip for the listeners to allow the good things into their lives?
Ooh.
Kyle.
No, Luke, you got to go first. I got to
The thing that I didn't do for all of my life that I can remember up until about 4 years ago, and that's be honest with yourself and with other people, but more importantly with yourself, right? Because as soon as you start to be honest with yourself and believe yourself and what you're hearing from yourself, whether you're unhappy, whether you're scared, whether you're uncomfortable, whether you're in a relationship that you don't want to be in, whether you're nervous, whether you're in a job you don't like, unless you listen to yourself and trust those feelings and that honesty that you're trying to tell yourself, you're never going to get out. I mean, listen, you might, but never going to get out of it. It's a great place to start. Just authenticity and honesty. And, you know, I'm listening to myself say those words now. I mean, that's 10 years ago. That's complete fucking hypocrisy. But, you know, times have changed.
Thank you. Okay, Kyle, you're up.
Luke took my answer.
So. Yeah.
You know, I think for me, a lot of it is, you know, helping others. If I can get out of myself and, you know, I might have this huge issue, but if I can say, just give back and just be of service. And it could be anything like, I don't know, letting some old lady go in front of you at the line, and just somehow in my life, if I'm of service, this all gets worked out. Like the stuff that I worried about just kind of worked itself out, and I was able to, like, you know, also feel good and not worry about it. So
I love that. Yeah. So those are very good. No one has yet to say either of those along those lines. So thank you for that. And thank you so much, Luke and Kyle, for not only being on my show, but also allowing me to share my story on yours. I really, really appreciate it. And I will have all the links to whatever you want me to share in the show notes, the podcast and all of that stuff. So, but thank you.
We appreciate you having us on. Thank you so much, Amanda. Yeah.
You're welcome. And just as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to you all soon.